presence of our esteemed guests and scholars, and allow you some time if you have questions. The topic is of supreme interest for all of us. It is about who we are in our past and future, and it relates to our 12th Imam, Al-Imam Al-Hujjah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salli. The belief in the Imam, where it come from and what happened in the past and how it affected our identity and our the course of history, how it played out until today, and in future, what is our outlook towards future, because that is one of those elements, one of those topics that is prompting Islamophobia going on, that Muslims are waiting for a savior, and some groups who have some vested interest, they are calling our Imam the Antichrist and waging a war against Islam. And to the extent that we have heard reports that some there are elements who are trying to investigate and find where the Imam is, and if he's born, they'll come after him, and all kinds of these things we, most of us, have heard. Whether there is any truth to that or not, we are not concerned with that. I'll just begin briefly with a hadith to that might touch our hearts. Marhum Rawa al-Bursi, this is a hadith that in certain books that talks about the day of Ashura. إن الحسين لما سقط عن فرسه يوم الطف قالت الملائكة. When on the day of Ashura, the most tragic event of history happened, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam reached a point where he had lost his family, his the men and the and he had lost his companions who had come along, and in the end Imam alayhi salam fell from his horse. In the Husayn lamma saqata an farasihi yawm al-taf, on the day of Ashura, qalat al-malaika, the angel said, Rabbana yuf'alu hadha bil Husayn, O Lord, they're doing this to Husayn. Wa anta bil mirsad, and you are in the wait, you are watching and waiting for them. Faqala Allahu lahum, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Unzuru ila yameen al-arsh, look at the right side of my throne. فَنَظَرُوا فَإِذَا الْقَائِمُ قَائِمًا يُسَلِّي عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And they looked at the throne of Allah on the right side, or whatever it means in reality. They looked and they saw the Qa'im alayhi salatu wasalam, our first Imam. They saw him, his image. They saw him there, he was praying in halat al-qiyam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels, إِنِّي أَنْتَقِمُ لِهَذَا بِهَذَا مِنْ هَؤُلَىٰ. I'm going to revenge, I'm going to avenge for the blood of Hussein with this, right? Against those people who have betrayed the Prophet and who have committed this grievous crime. We, our salutes, the relations to the family of Holy Prophet and our Imam, and in this humble way we pay our respects, and I will invite our guests to please come up on the stage. Maulana Agha Mehdi Ali from Boston, please welcome him with the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And Maulana Sayyid Nafis Taqawi, who resides here in Atlanta in the Islamic Center in Zainabiya, I understand. Is that right? Yes. And welcome him, please have a nice salawat. So this session, inshallah, will be very useful because we'll cover the history, past and future. And for the past, what happened to this day, I will invite Maulana Agha Mehdi Ali to shed some light on this important subject. And if you have a question after his remarks, you can raise your hand. Welcome with the salawat.
الله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين أبي الفاصل محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المسلمين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من يومنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوات محمد وآل محمد، صل على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط، صدق الله العليم العظيم. صلوات الله على محمد. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us this tawfiq and inspiration to come to this conference, which is a source of rejuvenating our faith and our iman, inshallah. And the subject of discussion that we have is very, very vast in its own context. Today, in the Hausa, it is discussed extensively in Mahdaviyyat, the notion of a savior coming into this world to establish justice while it is going to be filled with chaos. The verse of Holy Quran I had the honor of reciting is of Surah Hadid, verse 25, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "We sent our messengers with clear evidence to support their truthfulness and sent with them the book and the balance so that people would maintain justice." I want to keep this verse of the Quran at the back of your mind so that inshallah we will talk about it further. The need of a munji, the need of a savior itself, why is it needed? When we look at all the religions, we find they are all awaiting for a savior who would come into this world. For what? To establish justice. Even in Christianity, Judaism, you find it. And this notion is expressed and manifested in the works. City of God. Saint Augustine writes City of God. Why does he write City of God? This notion that mankind has in his inherent nature to find justice, to find a society which is a perfect society. It's part of who we are. We are yearning for a perfect society. And that's a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many references in the Holy Quran. To keep my discussion brief, I'm not going to go into all of them. But some of the signs of the coming of that Savior, I would like to go very, very quickly with all of you. And you can relate to this, inshallah. It's one of the scholars of the seminary, in fact, he even has a Dars-e Kharij on Mahdaviyyat, by Ayatollah Najmuddin Tabasi. I have used some of his sources to make this presentation that I'm sharing with you. And the signs are in the light of the ahadith of Masumin coming from Rasulullah. One of the signs is the despotism of the governments. We will have tyrannical and despotic rule before the Imam comes. And a narration from Imam Ali alayhi salam, the world will be filled with tyranny and injustice such that there will be fear and grief in every house. That's how the world is going to be. Alhamdulillah, we are blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not have that fear of tyranny here, although we have fear of poverty here. But there are so many countries in the Muslim world especially. This is manifesting, this fear is manifesting all over the place. Another narration from our fifth Imam. The Imam says, Hazrat Iqayim will not rise up except at a time full of fear and dread. That's when Hazrat Iqayim or the 12th Imam is going to rise up. And another narration from our fifth Imam, in which the Imam says that the Mahdi will rise up at a time when the helm of affairs would be in the hands of tyrants. Look, my dear brothers and sisters, today, in whose hands are the governments? I was watching yesterday, I think 6th August was probably the anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and I saw yesterday they have released images or a document, an extensive document, which cites the a report on the effects of the nuclear attack that was done on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And there are even pictures. I just saw it yesterday. And before the attack, pictures, and after the attack, pictures. Now they are released, they are out there on the internet. You can see it. Before, you could see an aerial view of a city hustling and bustling with homes and trees. You can see all that. And after that, you can see it looks like you have dug a hole in that whole place. And then it goes very intensely describing how people have died and what was the intensity of that attack and all those things. So what I'm trying to say is, no form of justice could justify this form of injustice. This is not justified. Hundreds and thousands of people are being killed today all over the world, and this cannot be justified. So this is what the Imam is saying, that Mahdi will rise up at the time and the helm of affairs would be in the hand of tyrants. Look at the Muslim world. What kind of rulers do we have? Or even we have any rulers who have, you know, Allah or Quran as a guiding principle. We don't find that. They are all tyrants who are serving their own agendas. Composition of the state. Second thing that would happen is how the states are going to be composed. The noble prophet of Allah says, another narration, a time will come when rulers will be oppressors, commanders will be treacherous, judges would be transgressors, ministers will be tyrants. This is how society would be. Is it different from what we are seeing today? This is a society in which we are living. Judgment, judges, you know, recently there was a person who was hanged in India for his, terrorist activity, and there was a whole debate. I was watching the Indian media, and the media itself was conceding this stepmotherly treatment of Muslims in India and this selective justice. Nobody is siding that, you know, that whether it is right. Nobody is saying it's right. It's wrong. But why is it only on the same day the killers and the terrorists who killed the Prime Minister of India, they were granted life sentence? And this guy was sentenced to death and he was hanged, and it is not proven, it is only by mere torture, some of the confessions that were received. So it is not really 100% clear whether this guy, he was not there, nothing was there. But the person who actually, killed the Prime Minister of India, he was given life sentence and this person was hanged the same day. And even Hindus of India are saying, what type of selective justice are we trying to project? What kind of judgment is this to the Supreme Court of India? So what I'm trying to say, this is all, it has all become political. Even the justice system is under the pressure of the politicians who are running the state. Now, influence, the rule of the young. The noble prophet stated, seek refuge in Allah from the first 70 years and the rule of the youngsters. Rulers would be young, inexperienced. Today in this whole Yemen episode, if you look at the analysis, you will find that the experts are saying that the new Saudi regime followed by the new generation of rulers who are very, very young and very, very inexperienced, they are trying to make a point. And they are trying to assert their authority in the region, and that's why all this adventurism of going and killing Muslims next door. Yemen is because of that. And the Prophet of Allah is saying the rule of young. These are all the signs after which the Imam is going to be coming or manifesting in this world again. The instability of government. A government will assume office at the beginning of the day and will be deposed and removed with bloodshed by the end of the day. This is how governments would be. This instability of governments. Puppet governments. Aren't we seeing all this all over the world today? That all these puppet regimes and puppet governments can be taken in and out any moment and any time. The importance of powers in administering countries. Even countries, the administration is going to become important, meaning that they would not have the capacity to actually rule and control, and there would be anarchy. And I can cite tons and tons of examples. Now it's even, because there is accountability, alhamdulillah, in this country, we find and we are being exposed to the kind of, administration or to the kind of rule of law enforcement even in this country. Just in a university, a university police officer stops somebody and he did not commit a crime, and then gets shot. Now there's accountability. This has been happening for a long time. Now they are body cameras and there is more accountability and people are demanding to know what is happening. That's why we are coming to know of all this. Otherwise we would not know this. Islam and Muslims. What would be the state of Islam and Muslims? The noble Prophet of Allah said, a period will come to pass for my ummah in which nothing will be left of Islam but its name. There will be no trace of the Quran but its form and outline. The Muslims will be called Muslims in name, but of all the people, they will be the most alien to Islam. Islam would only become a symbol rather than a manifestation of the teachings of the Holy Prophet. Even during the pagan Arabia, those Baddu Arab, if you want to call, or those ignorant Arabs pre-Islam, when the month of Rajab, Shaban and Ramadan would come, they would avoid battle. They would not fight, because those were the sacred months even for them. Now we find this month of Ramadan that just gone past, we were fasting and we were enjoying all the meals, and Yemen was being bombed by a Muslim state which calls itself Khadimul Haramain Sharifain. They are the ones who are bombing in the holy month of Ramadan. Where? On civilian targets. Killing children and women. So what kind of Islam are they manifesting? What kind of Islam are they representing? The Islam that is being represented or ridiculed in the form of ISIS and ISIL is so obvious that there is no reason for me to even make a case. You think that this is what Islam was? This is how the Prophet took over hearts of people? This is the seerah of whom Quran says that إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَزِيمٍ. You possess the best of character. You are the uswa and the exemplar for perfection. This is what the Prophet taught? Obviously not. How about the mosques? The Prophet of Allah said, during that time, the mosques will be beautiful and flourishing, but they will be devoid of guidance and enlightenment. There would not be any guidance, there will not be any enlightenment. But they will be flourishing, they will be filled with people. In fact, there is, a very extensive hadith that the Prophet of Allah had taught or narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. It's called Wasaya of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. It's a very, very good hadith in which half or the later part of the hadith, the Prophet of Allah talks about Akhirul Zaman, how would be the people of that time and what would be the people doing at that time. And in that, the Prophet of Allah mentions that the mosques are going to be high-rise mosques with big minarets, but devoid of any guidance. And those who are coming into those mosques would not be part of my ummah, rather they would be the munafiqeen, hypocrites of my ummah. So if we are truly living for the coming of the Imam, we need to ensure our Islamic centers are manifestation of taqwa and God-worthiness and ikhlas, and it should not become a place of politicization and gossip. And so we need to be very, very careful that we do not become the mizdah of the sayings of the Holy Prophet. Fuqaha, even fuqaha are going to be sold out. The Jews are going to be sold out. The desertion of religion. One day, this is a good narration in which Imam Hussein came to Amir al-Mu'mineen. While a group of people were sitting around him, and Ali alayhi salam said to them, Hussein is our chief. The Messenger of Allah has called him Sayyid, master, and chief from among his progeny. A man will rise up who will resemble me in appearance and character. He will fill the world with justice and equity, just as I had been just as it had been full of injustice and oppression. It was asked, when will this uprising occur? He said, alas, it will be at the time when you would abandon religion in the same manner a woman abandons her haya. So my dear brothers and sisters, if we abandon our faith, if we abandon our religion, these are the signs. We do not want to be part of those who are going to be the signs of anarchy and chaos and hypocrisy in society. We want to be on the right side of Allah's guidance through the Imam. So we need to ensure that we are on that side. Selling of religion. Religion, there, I'm going to skip. Well, I don't know how much time do I have? Huh? Are you sure? Okay. Selling of religion. People, religion, again, people are going to sell their religion. Today, in the name of job security, people are spying in our own communities, unfortunately. They can justify whatever they want to say. Oh, we want to make sure that, you know, there is nothing. No, we understand all that. But what are your intentions? Your intentions are to really, you know, integrate in society or score points with your employer to go up in the hierarchy to make more money. You know, people are going to sell religion. And it's being sold very, very cheap. Even the terrorist who had blown the shrine of Imam Raza, I think it was on the day of Ashura, in which many, many pilgrims were, you know, martyred many years ago. You know how much, for how much did he sell his religion? For $300 and a promise to get a visa to the United States. That's how much he sold his religion. Imam Ali says, if you really want to sell yourself, you know, your worth is that the minimum worth of a mu'min to sell himself is Jannah, nothing less than Jannah. That is your self-worth. We all know how to calculate our self-worth, getting our 401k plans and getting all our investments and our bank accounts, knowing our self-worth, which is not worthy of anything. It's all a contract on paper. But the true self-worth of a believer is this Iman. And if somebody wants to really put a price on you, that price should be Jannah. Morality, what would be the state of morality before the coming of our 12th Imam? The coldness of human feelings. Human feelings are going to go into cold storage. People are going to lose their compassion towards other people. That's how people are going to be. Everything is going to become numbers and, you know, my interest versus that interest. And today we see that. Among the signs of the day of resurrection is bad treatment between neighbors and severance of the bonds of kingship. Silatul Rahim. We are going to sever ties from our relatives. Islam does not encourage that sort of a believer. A believer should always be connected with his family. And the time in which the Imam is going to come would be such that people are going to be self-centered. They don't really care about others, even their near relatives. All they care is me, me, and me. That's all. Moral corruption, another cause. Here again, another hadith, which says, I swear to the one in whose hand is my life, the Prophet of Allah is saying, that this ummah will not vanish until such a time when a man would ambush a woman like a wild lion and molest her. There would not be any security. The best among the people is he who will say, I wish you would have hidden her behind this wall and did not do such and such a thing in public. So immoral behavior would become so rampant that people with haya, people with modesty, cannot even look up and see what is going on. So immorality is going to be viral, rampant, widespread. Aren't we seeing all this today? Aren't we finding all this today? And the justification. So many things in the news. Everything in the name of freedom. Today, you know, this whole transgender issue, you all are aware how, you know, an athlete who had children and then thoroughly had in his 60s, thinks he's a woman, then he becomes a woman. Now, every day there's some news, just, you know, getting media attention to make money and to make us all look like fools. And we are all sucked up into this whole thing, trying to follow all the tweets, all the Facebook updates, wasting our precious time, which is not going to give us anything. This is what lahab and lahab is. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, this is how you waste time. At the end of the day, if we do not want to do muhasaba or accounting of our actions, just do accounting of our time. What did I do? with the time that I was given? If this 24 hours are extended to me, what would I do? If you cannot see Muslim personalities as inspiration, okay, look at people who were Abidul Dunya, people who left this world, Steve Jobs. If Steve Jobs would have one more year, you think he's just going to look at the tweets and Facebook, or he's going to get 10 other versions of, I don't know, G-phone or Z-phone, some kind of a phone he would, because he wanted something productive. And we are all, what we are doing, in like 1 hour, we are 200 times, we are opening up, looking who's talking, who's sending a message, who's doing this, who's tweeting, who's following. I have so many followers, I'm sending so many messages, I have so many likes. How is this tangible? How is this, you know, this is a, you know, waste of resource. This is the waste of the opportunity and the blessing of life, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Especially young people, they need to definitely reconsider how they are spending their minutes and seconds and hours. The spread of immodest acts. Muhammad ibn Muslim said, I asked Imam Baqir alayhi salam, O son of the Messenger of Allah, when will the khayyam from among you appear? The Imam said, it will be at the time when men would resemble women and women would act like men. At the time when men would suffice themselves with men, and so would women with other women. This is what is happening, brothers and sisters. I am not talking about apparent facade, apparent corruption. I am talking about our communities. You know, women are acting like men. I am not trying to put down anybody. A lot of marriages that are failing because women, there's no wife and husband. There are two husbands trying to live under one roof. That's one of the bigger problems right now. Because both of them want to run the house. Quran says, Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. Sometimes enemies of Islam use this verse to belittle Islam and says that Islam says that men are superior than women. No, Quran is saying men are protectors of women. They are not superior, they are protectors. They have a duty to protect. It is their responsibility. Just imagine, I was, you know, contemplating this this pilot who forcefully crashed an aircraft, who was in, you know, getting into blindness and depression, whatever. He was a co-pilot. The main pilot had left the cockpit for a few minutes, and the co-pilot locked himself from inside and was able to crash the aircraft. Why? Because he also had the same capability. If there was only one pilot, would that happen? An air hostess would never figure out the technology that was behind, the training that was needed. So, knowing and having the skill does not mean that you can take in your hands the situation. If a family needs to run, if a marriage needs to work, the husband has to be in charge. There has to be mutual compassion and love, mutual agreement how you are going to run the life. But you cannot have two pilots trying to fly one aircraft that can end up into a disaster. The desire for less children. Another sign of the coming of Mahdi is, you know, people are going to desire to have less children. The day of resurrection shall not come to pass unless offspring would decrease in number, and people would not desire to have more children. The increase in the number of families without guardians, without fathers. That's another, you know. I'm trying to go very quickly, inshallah. Security, what would be the state of security before the advent of Imam Sahibullah Sahibullah Zaman? Chaos and insecurity. There will be no security. There is going to just be chaos and insecurity. There is no accountability of how many people are dying and suffering.
We say mission complete, we were successful, shock and awe, we did everything. Now the ground is clean. We changed the geography of the whole country and we walked back. 10 years ago we changed the geography of Afghanistan and we came back thinking everything is fine. Is it fine? It's not fine. So there is chaos and insecurity. Here I will just share this. Abu Hamza Somali narrates from again from our fifth Imam that the Imam said, "O Abu Hamza, Hazrat Khayyam will not rise up unless at the time when fear and dread would intensify, calamities and seditions would prevail over society, and afflictions and misfortune would befall the people. In addition to this, diseases would reach epidemic proportions, and intense and fatal dispute would occur among the Arabs. Intense discord among the people would become rampant. Religious and sectarian strife would be triggered, and the conditions of the people would change to such an extent that every wisher, when he sees the brutality of the people and their violations of the rights of each other, will wish for death every day and every night." I don't have time to go through this, but you can all relate what the Imam is saying 1400 years ago. Sectarian strife, and you know, you just take each one of them. If I just take one hadith and if I want to open it up, it will just take one session. Horrendous crimes. What kind of horrendous crimes we are seeing today? Never seen ever before, you know. Wishing for death by those who are alive. They are talking in terms of, you know, like we need to just take them out. We need to, we will have what you call collateral damage, meaning civilian death. Like it's just something that has nothing to do with human beings, you know. This is what is happening. Captivity of the Muslims. Muslims are going to be under captivity and under siege. Sinking into the ground. The increase of sudden death. These are all the signs. I'm just going very quickly. Hopelessness of the people of the world to attain deliverance. People will become hopeless. Depression is a major cause even in affluent countries today. People are very, very hopeless. Absence of judges and refuge. War, killing and sedition. All these, my dear friend, drying up of lakes and rivers. You know, environmental disasters that we are finding today, you know, this is, and then the prevalence of inflation, starvation, poverty, and recession in trade. These are all ahadith. In the light of ahadith, I'm just giving you the subheadings. This is all going to happen before the coming of Imam Mahdi. And definitely, there is a ray of hope for true believers. Regarding the revival of religion in every century, the Messenger of Allah said, "Verily, Allah the Exalted will send for His Ummah a person who will revive the religion at the beginning of every century." And we were honored that we had a revival in our century. The Center for Diffusion of Islamic Culture, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "The city of Kufa will soon be void of believers, and knowledge and learning will depart from there, and like a snake coiled up in a corner, it will be restricted to an emerge from a city named Qom." There's a specific name that Imam takes. So knowledge is going to spread and it's going to come from Qom, which will become the center of knowledge and virtue as well as a repository of learning and perfection, so much so that no intellectually downtrodden or mustazaf person, including secluded women, would ever be left on the surface of earth without being aware of religion. And that time will near the time of the advent of Imam Mahdi. I'm skipping in the interest of time. There are others, references. But what is it that we want from the coming of Mahdi? You know, I cited the verse of Holy Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed we have sent the prophets and the books with mizan, with the criteria. Why? لِيَقُومَ النَّاسِ بِالْقِسْطِ. So that people would maintain justice. So if we are truly the awaiters of the Imam of our time, the ulama, Ayatollah Jawadi, uses a symbol of a triangle. He says it is a triangle that needs to be completed. On one side of it is the book of guidance. Another side of that triangle is a guide, is a hadi, a leader to lead. And the third side of the triangle is the people. So as long as we have these three sides working together, we'll have a triangle. Otherwise, it's not going to be. Allah has sent the book and we have the guide. People are not ready. Even in this verse of the Quran, ulama do tafsir and they say that Allah has sent the prophets and guidance is there and the guide is alive, but people are not ready to engage in their lives with justice. The day we take upon ourselves the task of being just to ourselves and others, we have truly proven ourselves to be those who are awaiting for the coming of the Imam of our time. Please say Allahu Akbar. I would like to end here, inshallah. Sayyid is going to speak, and then there will be a brief question and answer session also. Thank you.
We looked at the past and coming to the science, we are approaching the time which we hope and pray that will be for the change that is to come in this world. We would like to benefit from what we know and want to learn about the future of Mahdaviyat in this world. I will invite Maulana Sayyid Hafiz Taqawi to shed some light on this important subject. Salawat.
Hazrat Muhammad, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam. Master of the Ma'am. No Urdu or no? How do you remember Urdu? And Farsi? Oh, that's it. It's good. Inshallah. Rabbi, I'm starting with Arabic. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله لقد جاءت رسل ربنا بالحق ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على
محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين المنتخبين الغر النعمين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله الحكيم في القرآن الكريم وقوله الحق وهو أصدق القائلين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الأرض لله يورثها من يشاء. Brother and sister, this land is related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when somebody on and the master, this is his duty, he can give anybody. First, I have three stories, short story, and then start in Urdu and Farsi, inshallah. One day, there was a city there, a long time no raining day. All the trees are dry and land are dry, everybody feel thirsty, and you know, water is raining and contained in my life. The ulama announced, please, tomorrow, gather in the outside the town and we pray for rain. Salatul Istisqa. The next day, all the people of the town came over there, but one Ismail came bring an umbrella with him. There was no rain in a long time, and all the people of the town came over there, but only one child came with the umbrella. This is our iman. You know, when we do prayer, inshallah, rain coming. If we have quality of iman like that kid, it means we can wait for Imam Zaman Ajallah Ta'ala to their shayt. And you know, sometimes we play with the babies, small baby. When baby understand this person love me, like me, feel good. When you throw in the air, baby is never crying, is smiling. Did you sound like that before? अगर हम बच्चे को हवा में उछाले थोड़ा बहुत खेलने के बाद तो रोता नहीं बल्कि हंसता है. There is our faith and yaqeen. We know we have Imam Zaman behind us. So all in very difficult condition, we smile because we know Allah give a protector to Ujjatullah Imam Zamana Ajjalullah Ta'ala Fajr Shaheed. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And third thing, everybody we know, everybody brings a return ticket, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Every human being comes with a return ticket from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Everybody know, maybe tomorrow we die. But for tomorrow, we prepare the alarm for tomorrow morning. That is our hope. Hamari zindagi in teen qisso ke darmiyan hai. Hamara iman, hamara yaqeen, hamara aqeedah, aur hamari ummeed hai. Aisani grami, khuda bande manan ne is duniya ka ek waris banaya hai. और इस दुनिया को कभी भी अपने वारिस से खाली नहीं रखना. जरूरत है हमारी कि हम अल्लाह से जुड़े, लेकिन उस नुक्ते कनेक्शन और उस कनेक्शन पॉइंट के लिए जरूरी है किसी का होना. अब हमारे ईमान का मसला हम देख रहे हैं कि एक साहब चाकू लेके मस्जिद में आए और कहने लगे मुझे एक सच्चा मुसलमान चाहिए. Bring a knife in his hand and ask, I need a good Muslim. Ek saab dua padte the ke nahi le jao ye bahut acha Muslim. Jab wo le gaye to le jane ke baad unko na jaane mera kya karega. Wahan ja ke bola ke I need a zibashai. I need a good Muslim. Usne zibashai ka to kehne laga I have more 10 goats. But I am an old man, I am tired, you can find out more to three Muslims and other Muslims. But okay, you can go. When he went to the masjid, he came and put his chaku in blood. He said, I need 2-3 Muslims. He said, if you take one, you have to do this. He said, no, I need it. So all the people of Mawlana said, this is the true Muslim. ने कहा कि कोई दो चार रकत पढ़ने से सच्चा मुसलमान बन जाता है. ऐसा निगरानी हम उस उज्जत खुदा के इंतजार में हैं कि जो हमें खुदा से जोड़ने वाला है, जो नुकता है आज.
اس سلسلے میں ہمارے مولا متقیان علی بن ابی طالب علیہ السلام فرماتے ہیں يعطف الحواء على الهدى اذا عطف الهدى على الحواء ويعطف الراعي على القران اذا عطف القران على الراعي. امیر المومنین کو کہتے ہیں علی بن ابی طالب علیہ السلام کو امیر المومنین. جس طرح آپ مومنین کے امیر ہیں اسی طرح آپ کا کلام امیر البیان ہے, تمام باتوں کا امام اور تمام جو کا امیر ہے, باتوں کا امیر ہے, تمام کلام کا امیر ہے. امام نے ہمارے لیے جو نسخہ ہدایت تلاش کیا ہے, ہماری پریشانیوں کا جو حل تلاش کیا ہے, اس میں امام نے بھی انسانیت کو امید دلائی ہے اس نقطۂ ہدایت کی جانب کہ جو اللہ کا وجہ ہے, اللہ کا چہرہ ہے. امام فرماتے ہیں کہ اپنی ہوا کو, اپنی خواہشات کو, اپنی ڈیزائر کو, اپنی ضروریات کو ہدایت کی طرف موڑ دو. کیوں؟ کیونکہ جب ہدایت, جب تمہاری ہدایت جس کو تم ہدایت کہہ رہے ہو وہ اگر تمہاری خواہشات کی نظر ہو جائے, جب وہ تمہاری خواہشات کی نظر ہو جائے تو پھر اس ہدایت کو پانے کے لیے قرآن کی طرف اپنا منہ موڑ, اور جب قرآن تمہارے مشوروں کی نظر ہو جائے, تفسیر پھر رائے کے ذریعے اس کے کلام کو انسان کھو بیٹھے, حقیقت کو کھو بیٹھے, انسان ہدایت قرآن سے دور ہو جائے, تو پھر ضروری ہے کہ تم اپنے آپ کو اس ہدایت کی طرف لے جاؤ جو صحیح معنی میں تمہیں خدا سے جوڑنے والا ہے. اور اس ہدایت کو امام نے امام مہدی جل اللہ تعالیٰ فرج شریف کے نام سے جانا ہے. احسان گرامی, یہ تو طے ہے کہ یہ کتاب اس وقت تک ہماری ہدایت نہیں کر سکتی جب تک کہ ہم متقی نہ بن جائیں. جب تک ہم متقی نہ بن جائیں, اور تقوی کیا ہے؟ ویری اسمال سینٹینس. تقوی جسٹ لائک اے بریک ان یور کار. تقوی کہتے ہیں بریک کو. اف یو اپ گریڈ کار, لیدر سیٹ, ایئر کنڈیشن, ویری گڈ اپ گریڈ, بٹ یو ہیو نو اینی بریک ان یور کار. اگر کار میں بریک نہ ہو تو کیا ہوگا؟ خود بھی خراب اور دوسرے کو بھی ضائع کریں. اللہ نے ہمیں جو کنٹرولنگ پاور دیا ہے اسی کا نام تقویٰ ہے. دوسری تقویٰ کی ڈیفینیشن, کہ بہت سے لوگ کہتے ہیں تقویٰ کا مطلب یہ ہے کہ آپ اپنے آپ کو بند کر لیں, جیل میں لے آئیں, put in your inside the jail. جیل میں اور گھر میں فرق ہے. جیل میں باہر تالا لگایا جاتا ہے اور گھر میں اندر کی طرف تالا لگایا جاتا ہے. جیل میں اس لیے ڈالا جاتا ہے کہ پوری دنیا آپ کے شر سے محفوظ رہے, اور اندر اس لیے تالا لگایا جاتا ہے کہ ہم برے لوگوں سے محفوظ رہیں. تو تقویٰ باہر سے تالا لگانے کا نام نہیں ہے, خود اندر سے برائی سے بچنے کے لیے اپنے آپ کو محفوظ کرنے کا نام تقویٰ ہے. جب تک ہم اس نقطۂ عطف تک نہیں پہنچ سکتے جب تک کہ ہم اپنی ذات میں اخلاص اور تقویٰ نہ لے آئیں. خداوند منان نے ہمیں اس ایمان سے جڑنے کے لیے بہت ہی ہم پر کرم کیا. فرانس کے ایک رائٹر ہینری, ڈاکٹر ہینری لکھتا ہے کہ شیعہ قوم کو پراؤڈ کرنا چاہیے کہ پوری دنیا میں یہ واحد قوم ہے کہ جس کا ہادی زندہ ہے. یہود اور نصارہ حضرت موسیٰ اللہ سے جڑنے کا ایک راستہ مانتے ہیں, اور وہ بھی جانتے ہیں کہ وہ اس دنیا سے چلے گئے. حضرت موسیٰ بھی چلے گئے, نہ کلیم اللہ کا کلام ہے, نہ حضرت عیسیٰ ٹھوکر مار کے کسی کو زندہ کر رہے. عام مسلمان بھی اپنے آپ کو
محمد مصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی حد تک محفوظ رکھتا ہے اور کہتا ہے کہ اس کے بعد جو ہے ہماری ہدایت کا سلسلہ نہیں. لیکن یہ تشیع ہے, مذہب تشیع ہے کہ جس کے یہاں پر ہدایت ختم نہیں ہوئی, نبوت کے کام کو ہدایت ولایت کے ذریعے انہوں نے زندہ رکھا, اور ہم پراؤڈ کرتے ہیں کہ ہم امام زندہ کے فالوور ہیں, ہماری مشکلات کو حل کرنے والا ہمارا امام زندہ ہے. تو ایسا نہیں کہ رانی اللہ سے جوڑنے کے لیے اللہ, حجت اللہ اور عبداللہ, تین راستے. پھر ادھر سے جائیں گے یہ آسمان سے ہدایت کا سلسلہ ہے, کہ عبداللہ تک اللہ کی ہدایت پہنچنے کے معنی ہے کہ کوئی حجت اللہ ہو, درمیان ہو, کہ جو خدا کا نمائندہ ہو, خدا کی زمین کا وارث ہو, خدا کی ہدایت کا وارث ہو, خدا کی کتاب کا وارث ہو, خدا کے کلام کا وارث ہو. اسی طریقے سے ہماری وائس کو پہنچانے والا کوئی ہو جو عبداللہ سے امام بنے اور امام کے ذریعے اللہ تک ہماری بات پہنچے. لہذا ہمیں اپنا فیوچر کو اگر محفوظ کرنا ہے کہ آپ کے امام کل آئیں گے یا آفٹر 10 ایئر میں آئیں گے, لیکن آپ کو پریپیئر رہنا ہے. ہمارے لیے سب سے بہترین کام اور سب سے بینیفٹ یہ ہے کہ اگر آنے والے کل کی امید میں ہمارا آج صحیح ہوتا ہے, پرزینٹ صحیح ہوتا ہے, تو پھر اس سے زیادہ اور کیا بینیفٹس ہے. اگر کل کی ہوپ میں, کل کی امید میں ہمارا پرزینٹ صحیح ہوتا ہے, ہمارا حال صحیح ہوتا ہے, تو پھر ہمیں اس امام کا انتظار بھی کرنا چاہیے اور اس امام کے لیے ہمیں اس سے ملنے کے لیے, اب اللہ نے ہمیں چن لی, اور اس سے ملنے کے لیے دو ہی چیزیں, ایک تقویٰ اور ایک انصاف. عدل مادوت چیز داری کے بہت امام زمان مرتبت بیشی نکنیم تب امام و از امام بے خدا بے رسی, یکی تقویٰ و یکی ہم عدل و انصاف. ہمیں وہ ای میل بھی کنیم, ای میل کرتے ہم لوگ نہیں, کون کون ای میل کرتا ہے, یو نو سسٹم آف کمپیوٹر ای میل, جبکہ کمپیوٹر کس نے بنایا ہے, باطل نے بنایا ہے, اللہ کی دی ہوئی عقل سے بنایا ہے. لیکن اگر ہم ای میل میں لکھ دیں .com, آپ کا ای میل کا کیا ہوگا, ریٹرن اور گو بیک آ جائے گا ایک بہت بڑے لمبے ای میل کے ساتھ, فیلڈ کے ساتھ. جب ایک کمپیوٹر کا نظام ایک نقطے کو غلط جگہ پہ میں قبول نہیں کرتا, جب ایک کمپیوٹر کا سسٹم, جب سسٹم کوئی چیز میں سسٹم میں آتی ہے, تو ایک اضافی ڈونٹ بھی جو ہے وہ انسان کی تمام باتوں کو لوٹا دیتا ہے. تو جب کمپیوٹر کے نظام میں عدل پایا جاتا ہے, تو کیا اللہ کے ہدایت کے نظام میں عدل نہیں پایا جاتا, کہ ہم جو ہیں دنیا بھر کے برے کام بھی کریں اور پھر اس حادی سے اس بات کی امید رکھیں. بے شک امام ہمیں جوڑنے والے صرف واحد راستہ ہے جو اللہ سے ہمیں جوڑ دے, لیکن اس تک پہنچنے کے لیے ہمیں نظام تقویٰ اور نظام عدل کو برقرار رکھنا ہوگا. اور اگر امام سے ملنا ہے, امام کی چاہت رکھتے ہیں, تو ہماری یہ ضروری ہے کہ ہم اپنے آج کو اچھا کر لیں, اپنے کل کے انتظار میں اپنے آج کو اچھا کر لیں, تاکہ ہم امام کا صحیح معنی میں انتظار کر سکیں. کیونکہ امام بہت رؤوف ہے, کریم ہے, بہت ہی محبت کرنے والا ہے. چونکہ اللہ کریم ہے, اس کی حجت بھی کریم ہوگی, اور اس نے ہمیں اس تک پہنچنے کے بہت سارے راستے دیے ہیں. اللہ نے ہمیں فطرت دی ہے, اللہ نے ہمیں عقل دی ہے, اللہ نے ہمیں ارادہ دیا ہے, اللہ نے ہمیں ضمیر دیا ہے, اللہ نے ہمیں قلب دیا ہے, اور اللہ نے ہمیں ہوائے نفس دی ہے اگر اس کا صحیح استعمال کیا جائے. اتنی نعمات کے بعد بھی اگر ہم اپنے زمانے کی امام کو نہ سمجھیں, بہت سے لوگ کہتے ہیں کہ کیسے ممکن ہے کہ امام اتنا لمبا زندہ رہ سکتا ہے, کیوں ممکن نہیں؟ خدا کے لیے سب کو معلوم ہے کہ شیطان نے یوم معلوم تک کی اجازت لے لی ہے. جب اس کی اجازت سے شیطان وہ زندہ ہے, وہ لوگوں کو اپنا کام کر کے بہکا رہا ہے, کیونکہ اللہ اپنے رحمان نمائندے کو خدا اپنے نمائندے کو زندہ نہیں رکھتا. بہت سے لوگ کہتے ہیں کہ امام کی عمر 40 سال, ایسا لگے گا کہ امام 40 سال کی عمر, 40 سال پہ کیسے ہو گئی, اتنے ہزار 1000 سے زیادہ سال ہو گئے. اللہ نے کہا یہ خدا کا کام ہے کہ وہ جس کو چاہے جس حال میں رکھے. اس کی بھی ہمارے پاس بہت سی دلیلیں ہوتی ہیں. سیم نیوٹریشن, ہمارے سر کے بال بڑھتے ہیں لیکن ہماری آئی بروز کے بال اتنے نہیں بڑھتے جس اسپیڈ سے ہمارے سر کے بال بڑھتے ہیں. وہی نیوٹریشن ہے, وہی کھانا ہے, وہی پانی ہے, لیکن ہمیں ہیئر کٹنگ کے لیے ایوری منتھ جانا پڑتا ہے, لیکن آئی بروز کے لیے ہمیں ایوری منتھ یا زندگی میں بھی بہت کم ہیں کہ جن کو اپنی آئی بروز کو کٹوانا پڑتا ہو. تو سیم نیوٹریشن کے بعد خدا جس کو چاہے بڑھائے, جس کو چاہے روکے, یہ خدا کے ہاتھ. لہٰذا ہمیں اپنے اس عقیدے پر باقی رہنے کے لیے, مہدویت آپ نے نام سنا ہوگا کہ مہدویت ہے کیا, کوئی عجیب اور الگ چیز نہیں ہے. جس طرح سے انسان کے بارے میں جب کوئی چیز آتی ہے تو اصول انسانی کو انسانیت کہا جاتا ہے. انسان ایک ہے اور انسانیت دوسری چیز ہے. انسان سے ریلیٹڈ شیعہ ایک ہے, شیعت اس کے اصول ہیں. اسی طریقے سے امام مہدی ہیں اور ان سے جڑنے کے اصول کا نام مہدویت ہے, ان کے انتظار کا نام مہدویت ہے, ان کے انتظار میں گزرنے والا ہمارا پل, ہمارا کلچر, ہمارا فرنگ, یہ تمام کی تمام چیزیں ایک اصول زندگی ہے. امام کا انتظار وداؤٹ رول نہیں کیا جا سکتا, انڈر دا رول کیا جا سکتا ہے. لہٰذا ہمیں چاہیے کہ ہم اپنے زمانے کے امام کو انڈر دا رول اسلامی قوانین کے تحت, اسلامی ہدایات کے ذریعے, امام اسلام کی تعلیمات کے تحت اپنے امام کا انتظار کریں. جس طرح کا ہم امام چاہتے ہیں اسی طرح امام بھی اپنے پیروکاروں کو چاہتے ہیں. لہٰذا ہمیں تیاری کرنی ہوگی اپنے زمانے کے امام کے لیے, تاکہ ہم اس حجت خدا کے ذریعے اپنے اللہ تک پہنچ سکیں اور اللہ کی محبتوں کو اپنے شامل حال کر سکتے ہیں. وآخر دعوانا ان الحمد للہ رب العالمین, والسلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ.
Thank you very much. I think with the, especially with the speech of Maulana Sayyid Thaqavi, we have made everybody happy except the Arabic speakers, so I'm going to give an Arabic speech now. Just kidding. Okay. Loud salawat, please.